You're listening to Marketplace Weekend from APM. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. The numbers that dominate our show today are anniversaries of all kinds. So we asked people on the streets of downtown Los Angeles about the last anniversaries they celebrated.
Last anniversary we celebrated. Ooh. Well, I guess it was our fourth year anniversary. Wedding anniversary.
100 days. 100 days with my girlfriend.
Your girlfriend, you did a 100-day anniversary.
I give a gift for her, and we kissed.
My wedding anniversary. We went out to dinner.
Same thing, wedding anniversary.
Father's death on Father's Day.
The last anniversary I celebrated was my friend's death, and it was Manuel. He passed away on, it's been 3 years already, you know? We go to his grave, and you know, we bring him food. Like I remember we brought him a plate of food. Like that's what we brought him, and we just brought beers and stuff. But what really like meant something was a plate of food, like homemade food, you know. And we just brought it to him, and that's what you do for Día de los Muertos as well. But just do that too. So
anniversary for what?
Fourth anniversary, we went and just spent the day in Chicago. That was it. It was really nice, you know, just meet him. And the kids was with his mom, so it was really great. It was really inexpensive, and that's all I'm asking for. He don't have to be the richest man in the world.
After hearing all those voices, think about what you buy for an anniversary and who's influencing that, maybe making a little money off our emotions. We turn to Cassie Mogilner, an associate professor of marketing at the Wharton School at the University of Pennsylvania. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
When we think about anniversaries, and you heard all those different kinds, how do companies sell them to us, and why?
Yeah, so one thing you'll note, all of those folks that you asked about a recent anniversary, all of them were in the context of a relationship with another person. And so that it starts to get at why companies highlight anniversaries, because it is really serves to highlight the relationship that consumers have with the company.
I understand in your research, particularly the recipients focus on kind of the thought that went into this thing. It's not like, oh yeah, my partner went out and got me this really expensive gift. It's, oh, he or she thought about me and what I love.
Yeah, which, again, I think is actually really neat, because gifts in general, thoughtfulness is important. But in particular, anniversary gifts, it's really about a gift that highlights the relationship and providing evidence that you know the person, that you've spent time together in the past. And we have some research where we have looked at the connecting power of gifts, finding that actually giving experiences serves to be more connecting than giving material goods. And so it was really neat hearing that one woman who was talking about her anniversary with her husband, where they, you know, took a trip to Chicago. And that, of course, was, it sounded like a little trip and a vacation and an experience that they shared together. Again, not only are they spending that time together for, like, during the celebration of the anniversary, but it's really drawing people to think about the time they've spent together in the past.
The flip side of this also brings out a conversation I had with someone in my office about anniversaries, and her reaction was, oh God, I hate those things. It always makes me feel guilty because I need to do X or Y. So the buying motivation seems complicated.
Yeah, definitely. So we give gifts out of both guilt as well as gratitude. So these are two separate emotions that both of them are very sort of effective in motivating us to give to relationship partners. The interesting thing is that gifts that are given out of guilt or gratitude, even holding the gift itself constant, has very different effects on the gift giver than the gift recipient. So when,
really?
Yeah, so when a gift is given out of guilt, it makes the gift giver feel closer to the person. They feel like they sort of accomplished something and they feel good. But if you ask gift recipients actually, or that they've received, that were given out of gratitude, that makes them feel more connected. So you see this asymmetric effect.
What is the fresh start effect?
Yeah, so the Fresh Start Effect is an effect uncovered by some of my colleagues here at Wharton, including Katie Milkman. And what they found is that when there are these temporal landmarks, oftentimes you think of New Year's or the beginning of a week, having these temporal landmarks actually motivates people to pursue their goals much more sort of effectively than otherwise. And so that's why you see people going to the gym a bunch in January, because it sort of marks the passage of time. They don't feel quite so guilty about the past year, and they think that, oh, it's a fresh start, so they will start to behave differently in this new point in time. And so when you think about anniversaries, this is an interesting sort of phenomenon where it is, again, in the context of a relationship. And so you can think about it not only as an opportunity to reflect on past time, but also as an opportunity to engage with your relationship partner in a way that is desirable. It serves to re-engage folks with their relationship partner.
When I think about all the emotion that we heard in those people's voices and the research you're talking about, how much do companies know about this? I mean, do they just look at us and think, oh man, they are suckers and we're going to tee all this stuff up and sell it to them?
Well, I think it's less nefarious than that. I mean, I do think that I actually encourage my business school students to think of brand management as relationship management. And so by highlighting anniversaries, you're highlighting to consumers that there is a relationship, and having spent time in the past, it leads them to want to spend more time and perhaps more money in the future. So in some of my own research, I found, for instance, when you lead people to think about the time they've spent on a product versus the money they've spent on the product, they feel they like the product more when they think about the time spent, and they feel more connected to the product. Now, the interesting thing is the consequence of feeling more engaged and focusing on that relationship is that you will spend more time and money in the future. So by thinking about time, you'll actually get the benefits from the marketer's perspective or the company's perspective with respect to expenditures of time and money.
So to get a little personal, I understand that you're coming up on your 6th wedding anniversary. Is that right?
Yes.
So I guess the traditional thing, and this is so weird, but you would buy your partner candy? What? What did you find out about, like, research into gift giving, and are you going to do that?
Well, I would like it if he were to give me candy, me being a lover of chocolate. So creativity, for one thing, it helps to have a starting point. And oftentimes when we're coming up with gifts to give, this sort of big, like, you could give anything is very daunting. And so if nothing else, having these silly rules of what to give is a sort of starting place to get your sort of thoughts moving on what types of gifts to give. That said, I actually had no idea what are the gifts that are given to demarcate each one of these anniversaries. And so while I will tell my husband that this is his opportunity to sort of lavish me with candy, I'm not particularly excited about a future anniversary of tin or wool, for instance. And so I might try to highlight the experiential versus material components of gift giving so that I get more sort of dinners out and concerts to go to.
Cassie Mogilner is an associate professor of marketing at the Wharton School. Thank you so much.
No problem. Thank you.